my friends, to the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you today, broadcasting from our basement out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. Bill Jack from Worldview Academy in studio with us today, just getting ready to launch out onto his Worldview Academy camps for the summer months. And we'll be gone from the studio, the bunker, for
That's
at least
right.
2 months.
Yep, at least 2 months, and I'm going to head southeast.
Are you? Where are you going to be based?
My team, we have three teams at Worldview Academy, okay. And we rotate teams every season.
Uh-huh.
So that returning students to the same location.
So where are you going to be based?
Get different faculty. And I start in Missouri.
In Missouri, okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then we, in Springfield, then we go down to Texas, then we go to Florida and Georgia and North Carolina.
Wow.
And Virginia, and then we end up in Pennsylvania.
Wow. That's not south.
That's south.
That's north. Bill Jack from Worldview Academy.
South Philly, maybe.
Yeah. Bill Jack from Worldview Academy is going to be crisscrossing the southeast up into Philadelphia over the summer months, and if folks want to sign up for that for their young folks, just check it out at worldview.org.
Org. Yep.
Worldview.org.
Org.
All right, my friends. Well, we have reached a moment of infamy in the history of the Western world, and we want to touch on the Irish referendum on the abortion issue on this edition of the program. Yes, indeed, this will be a day at which I think the entire world will remember that the Western world has abandoned the Christian faith, and that's what makes this moment so important as we continue to chronicle the decline of Western civilization on this program and have for the last 16 years. Interesting things going on. It was an 85-year attempt to strip back the Christian heritage, a Christian value from the entire Western world, and Ireland has finally capitulated to abortion. It was a 2-1 vote in favor. They were head over heels in love with killing kids Ireland.
Yeah, it's sad. It's very disturbing.
The only thing left now, Bill, is Malta and Northern Ireland are the only little tiny land masses in which there is something of a safe haven for babies in the entire Western world. Sadly, there is so much mass murder going on in the Western world. Obviously, nobody is safe. The handicapped, not safe. The aged, not safe. We live in an extremely unsafe age. Wake up and smell the napalm, my friends.
Yeah, the Nazis are smiling.
They sure are. The only safe havens in the entire Western world is Malta. Malta is like, what, 2 miles across?
Yeah.
And Northern Ireland, they're like 28 miles across.
Yeah. In fact, I saw reports on the Irish vote, the Republic of Ireland, and there were people holding signs saying, Northern Ireland, you're next.
Yeah, they're going after it. Yeah, there was a big protest in Belfast over the weekend. A large crowd of demonstrators took the streets of Belfast calling for a change to abortion legislation. They're putting a lot of pressure on Theresa May. Apparently, the Prime Minister of Great Britain has a fair amount of control in that she could call for a referendum in Northern Ireland. I'm not sure that a referendum would go pro-abortion yet in Northern Ireland. Thankfully, it's still Protestant and pro-life. And so, but it's been a tough year in the West. It's been a tough year in the West. Australia capitulated to the Neuronic Agenda. Remember that, what, 4 or 5 months ago?
Right.
They went for whatever Nero was excited about, and that was homosexual marriage and persecution of Christians. So that happened in Australia some 5-6 months ago, and now Northern Ireland has finally, or Ireland, the Republic of Ireland, has capitulated to the pro-abortion agenda. And friends, that means that if you check out the world abortion map, what do you find? You find that, check it out at worldabortionmap.com, I believe it is. World Abortion Map, and green signifies all of the pro-abortion nations, and red signifies the pro-life nations. It's interesting how the abortion map will, you know, green is apparently good for the pro-aborts. And the World Abortion Map presents the entire Western world, that is America, all of North America, Europe, and Russia, with just a teeny, teeny bit, meaning 0.01% of the landmass of the Western world is still pro-life, but the rest of it, the 99.99% of the Western world has gone to killing kids. That is all of North America, Europe, and Russia. And so if you look at, you know, everything across the entire Northern Hemisphere, what do you see, Bill? Nothing but pro-abortion, kill the kids, and kill more kids. And the best nations in the world, Africa and some of South America. So that's it. If you're looking for anything of a semblance of a pro-life perspective, friends, on the World Abortion Map, the only good nations in the world left, a couple of African nations, a couple of South American nations. Be back with more in just a moment on the Generations Radio broadcast. It's hard to imagine Christian pastors going to jail for their faith, and it's just as hard to imagine Christian businessmen fined $135,000 for not baking a cake in celebration of a homosexual wedding. It's hard to imagine America turning into a communist state that persecutes Christians and rewards the most aberrant. Will Christians just let it happen? Should Christians just let it happen? These are important questions, my friends. This is Kevin Swanson. And I wrote the book on freedom because I wanted to build a case for freedom. A biblical case. A historical case. And let me tell you, the history of freedom is the most inspiring story you'll ever read. Have you heard the story of the Magna Carta, Bannockburn, Leyden, and William the Silent, the American Pilgrims, and the Battle for King's Mountain? How will we fight for freedom in this generation and the next? Well, tell the story first. The story of freedom. Let's leave a legacy for freedom for our children and our grandchildren. Get a copy of the new book, Freedom for Each of Your Children and Grandchildren, at generations.org. That's generations.org. We are back on the Generations broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you. Bill Jack also in studio today with us as we take a look at the world law, abortion laws map. What is that? What's the URL on that one, Bill?
It's worldabortionlaws.com.
Okay, so you take a look at that map. What do you see?
It is
night and day.
Night and day.
Night and day.
Anything above the equator is basically green.
Bad. Yeah. Everything above the equator is bad.
Yeah. And it's
everything below the equator is some good stuff there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amazing. Amazing, my friends, the most evil nations in the world, you live. If you're listening to this program in the English language, you most likely live in one of the most evil nations in the world today. The most evil nations of the world in terms of killing kids, America, all of North America, Europe, Russia, etc., pretty much anything above the equator, as Bill just mentioned, and the best nations in the world, some of the African nations, some of the South American nations that have still been somewhat influenced by Christianity. You know, it's interesting. Ireland was the last pro-life holdout in the Western world. It's toppled by a 2-1 vote, by the way, largely dominated by, of course, the Catholic religion, which is not known for being able to defend anything of the Christian faith in the Western world. The Catholic faith has pretty much capitulated to everything. I think the lowest birth rate in Europe is Italy, or it's about the lowest birth rate in all of Europe. If you want to know, you know, how effective the Roman Catholics are, just check out the birth rates in Italy, my friends.
Which is ironic because they have historically led the fight against legalized abortion.
But their people don't. But they seem to not have a faith that has much power to it.
Right.
They deny the power thereof, sadly. And so the Catholics have been unable to stop the flow of secularism in places like Ireland, Spain, and Italy. And so it goes. So goes the Western, the old rotted out Western post-Christian nations. St. Patrick, you know, ended human sacrifice and infanticide in the 5th and 6th century. I was checking out an Irish synod in 675 AD. How many years ago is that? 1300 and something or other. Okay, so 1300 years ago, there's an Irish synod that met in 675 AD. They addressed abortion as equal to the crime of murder.
Yeah.
They called abortion murder in the Irish Synod of 675 AD. The Council of Truro in 692 AD recorded that those who give drugs for the procuring of abortion and those who receive poisons to kill the fetus are subject to the penalty of murder. That's 692 AD. So over 1,350 years, abortion was a crime in Europe. It was a crime in Ireland. Over 1,350 years, for a full millennium, Christ's rule was obvious over the Western world. For the eschatology buffs, Bill, some are asking the question, is the millennium over? Now, I've heard that question from some of the eschatology buffs, but we're not going there on this edition of the program. Okay. We're staying away
from
that question.
We're going to edit that right out.
Right,
of there.
That's right. Yeah. But for 1,350, let's not negate the influence of Christ.
Right.
You follow me here? It's one reason why I wrote the book, Taking the World for Jesus. And I refer to some of this stuff in that book, the history of the Christian missionary influence around the world over 2,000 years. Don't negate the work that Jesus did over 1,350 years, my friends. Impressive. At the very least, let's say that's impressive.
That's why we're called the salt and the light.
If you were Patrick and you knew that you would have influence over 1,350 years of Ireland's history.
Wow.
I mean, it's just like, wow, yeah. The Holy Spirit must be working there. And I believe the Holy Spirit did work there.
Yes. And there is hope. I mean, you look at this map and you go, wow, we are the Ireland pre-Patrick. You know,
we need Patrick to go back to Ireland.
We need Patrick to come to the United States. We need Patrick to come to Western Europe. We need Patrick to go back to Ireland drive those serpents out.
That's right.
Yeah.
So we're talking to the young Patricks listening to the program right now. My guess is there's a couple of young folks, their parents named them Patrick for a reason, and that's because they believed that the power of the gospel and the spirit that is in us is more powerful than the spirit that is in the world, and great things can still happen.
And that's why I do Worldview Academy.
That's right.
Because I love to work with young, zealous Christians who want to make a difference in the world and who have the power to and the zeal to do so because they rely on the Holy Spirit and the virtue of the Word of God.
That's right. That's right. Well, friends, this is the end of the old Western Christianity. The Catholics have lost their influence. The Protestants in the West have lost their influence as long as they're out buying abortifacient birth control pills. It was an 85-year process, though, Bill. It was 85 years to bring this about. Now, you're looking at the green on the World Abortion Laws map, and you see that all the way across from North America on into Russia. You find the conquest of Margaret Sanger over a period of 85 years. It was impressive. The first nation to legalize abortion was Russia. You got it. And Russia to this day has the largest abortion rate in the world. Russia has a ratio of about 480 abortions for 1,000 live births.
Wow.
Oh, it's incredible. The United States is around 200 right now. And of course, that's because Russia has the largest run on abortion since the 1920s. The Soviet Union was the first to legalize abortion. It took 85 years to bring this demonic influence across the entire Western world. Of course, Margaret Sanger yielded her influence big time in the 1920s and 1930s. In the 1930s, Poland, Turkey, Denmark, Sweden, Iceland, and Mexico legalized abortion in some special cases. And then Poland, Hungary, Bulgaria, Czechoslovakia, Romania legalized abortion big time in the 1950s under pressure from the Soviets. And it was the United Kingdom in 1967 that prescribed abortions as legal up to 24 weeks. And the first states in America to legalize abortion, Colorado was the first.
Yep.
Colorado was the first in 1967. California was the second state to legalize abortion in 1967, signed by Governor Ronald Reagan. That's correct. Ronald Reagan was the governor, the other Republican governor to sign the second abortion law in the United States of America, as he also did to the first loose divorce law as well, and I believe it was 1969 or 1970 that he signed
the first governor to sign was also a Republican. Governor John Love.
Yep. John Love.
In the name
so,
of love.
My friends, that's the history. It's been an 85-year process, and finally, of course, Ireland, the Republican of Ireland, has tipped over to support abortion. The last major nation of the Western world, Northern Ireland, Malta, are the last two nations to survive it. You know, it's interesting. It took a while to eliminate paganism out of the Western world. I mean, you go to work and you try to eliminate things like infanticide and homosexuality, human sacrifice as well, out of nations like Ireland and Mexico and so forth. It took a fair amount of time. When the conquistadors made it into Mexico for the first time, they found the Aztecs were very much involved in human sacrifice. They were very much involved in infanticide. In fact, to this day, lots and lots of skulls of babies are found in some of these human sacrifice temples Aztec Mexico.
They would sacrifice them to Tlaloc. And it says, the inscription on the monument there says that Tlaloc was the god of fertility and harvest and bringing rain, And it could only be satisfied by the tears and the blood of innocent children. So it wasn't they just didn't kill babies. They tortured them to make them scream and cry. Now, that is horrific.
Yes, and that's precisely what happens in the womb right now.
Exactly.
I can remember back in the 1970s, 1980s, The Silent Scream, the famous movie produced by Bernard Nathanson. And that profoundly affected me and engaged me in the pro-life movement in 1983 at Cal Poly San Luis Obispo, where I was attending at the university.
Interestingly enough, when I was teaching, I was the sponsor of a Bible club on my campus in a small southern Illinois town. And as one of our projects, the students showed to the student body, to anyone who would want to come, over two lunch periods, the Silent Scream.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. We had an amazing number of students and a couple of teachers come and see it.
Incredible. Well, my friends, paganism certainly was involved in infanticide. And, of course, the Aztec priests were homosexuals. They were sodomites. And they were very, very revolting creatures. They had hair down to their feet, all matted in human blood, and they stunk like carrion, but they were not allowed any other form of sexuality but sodomy. And so homosexuality, infanticide, of course, marked paganism over thousands and thousands of years until the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ came in and set the captives free from some of these most horrific crimes. So now, Bill, what we find is the recurrence of homosexuality and abortion in the modern age. It's taken 85 years to completely legalize abortion in the entire Western world, starting in the 1920s. It's taken about 35 years to completely legalize homosexuality in the Western world. Now, I guess my question is, what will the Lord Jesus Christ do, assuming he is the judge of the nations, assuming he is on the right hand of the Father, he's bringing his enemies under his footstool, and we have complete confidence, we have the authority of the Word of God that indeed Jesus is on the right hand of the Father. And the question is, will Jesus just let this go? Is Jesus powerless to bring any of these kind of enemies under his footstool? And of course, the answer is, of course, he's not. Jesus is still King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and I think a little fear of God and some recognition of the judgment of God upon the entire Western world. It could be that Christ has been waiting for Ireland to tip over to bring his judgment upon the entire Western world.
You know, it reminds me of that. We mentioned this, the Mayans and the Aztecs. It reminds me of that Mel Gibson film, Apocalypto. And the horrors that are portrayed there are real. And at the very end of that movie, the hero of the story looks out into the bay and he sees the Spanish galleons coming in. Yeah. And that is God's judgment against
that,
an evil
civilization. That's
and
right.
You might see that happening again.
Yeah, right.
You know, God raises up nations to judge those.
We might see the North Korea galleons coming down over the horizon or whatever. This time they're not coming in sailing ships, they're coming on missiles,
right.
But that's a slight difference.
Or the jihadists.
You're right, sure, absolutely. Revelation 14 verse 10 speaks of the nations. They shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And Revelation 19:15, Jesus shall rule the nations with a rod of iron. And he treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Friends, this is what Jesus does in history. And yes, indeed, the nations should be fearing. They should be quaking in the presence of the creator of the galaxies, the one who has created stars that implode at his will. And when a star implodes at his will, friends, it's far, far more powerful than any hurricane or any volcano that tips off over Hawaii or anywhere else. Indeed, Jesus Christ is King, is judge of the earth, and he's not going to allow this to continue indefinitely. Acts 17 and verse 30 reminds us that, yes, in the Old Testament era, there were times at which God winked at this ignorance, but now he commands all men everywhere to repent because he has appointed a day in which he would judge the world in righteousness by that man which he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men that he has raised him from the dead, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So what he's saying is that in the present era, God, Almighty God, and the Son of God who sits on the right hand of the Father on high, he will hold the nations to tight accounts, to tighter accounts, much, much, much tighter accounts than he did in the Old Testament era. So a little fear of God as the beginning of wisdom and knowledge would be appropriate in our study of history, Bill. I really encourage parents who listen to this program to encourage their children to fear God. And to consider the fear of God, the reverence of God, and the understanding that God judges the nations and brings, you know, horrific judgments down over nations, as well as bringing his mercy towards these nations, we should fear God first and foremost. But the challenge here is we're not talking about one isolated nation, as in the case of Sodom, or we're not talking about one isolated nation, as in the case of Tyre and Sidon, or some of these little nation states, tiny little nation states that surrounded Israel. No, we're looking at almost half the world's mass here, friends. We're talking about nations with a rich Christian heritage that have turned against Christ, have lifted up the fist in the face of Christ himself and say, I'm coming after you. I'm going to kill your children wholesale. I'm going to kill the children you have created in your image. I am going to kill and I'm going to kill. We're talking about between 2 and 4 billion dead children murdered mostly by their own parents and by government encouragement over the last 40 to 50 years. And at this point, I think it's only the Lord Jesus Christ. It's only God who will stop this now. The conditions that we're seeing right now is much like the pre-flood conditions talked about in Genesis 6 and verse 5. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. It repented the Lord that he'd made man on the earth. And God said to Noah in verse 13, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Now, again, friends, will there be a destruction? Will there be some coming judgment? Will there be massive repentance before the coming of Christ? Will there be a returning to Christ before the coming of Christ, and so forth? These are the questions, I think, that are in the back of minds of Christians, regardless of your eschatology. I'm not even talking about eschatology now. I'm just simply asking, you know, will there be repentance, or will there be some temporal judgment or an eternal judgment? We know there will be an eternal judgment. We're just asking the question, will there be temporal judgment, or will there be a repentance and a massive revival and a turning back to Jesus? That's, I think, the question that's in the mind of any Christian leader or any devoted Christian believer in the Lord Jesus today.
And regardless of your eschatology, we know our command. We know our command
disciple
from our
the
commander
nations.
In chief, and that is to go and make disciples.
Disciple the nations. Yeah. Disciple the nations.
Teach them to observe all that he commanded.
Amen.
You know? And it's not just we want you to, you know, to ask Jesus in your heart. It's to love God with all heart, soul, strength, and mind.
Yeah.
And it's Micah 6:8.
Amen.
You know? He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with your God.
Mm-hmm.
We need to think God's thoughts after him.
Mm-hmm.
Is not what would Jesus do, is what would Jesus think, and what did Jesus do then?
And Bill, I think there are some positives in all of this too, and that I think what happens here is the pro-life perspective definitely distinguishes Christians, even from Muslims. You know, Iran has a lower birth rate than America?
Yes.
Yeah. You know, the Muslims aren't doing well here either.
No, they're exporting, but they're not reproducing themselves.
No. The Muslims are as good at killing their kids as the Europeans.
Yes.
I think people need to remember that.
Yeah.
All right? They understand how to use abortifacients. They do. Now, Christians, on the other hand, we love our kids. We love children. We're not giving way to Margaret Sanger's worldview. The most loving thing a big family can do for their children is to kill their younger ones. You know, that's Margaret Sanger, right?
Yeah.
And as Christians, what do we say to that? We're like,
no.
Kipling said the women had no more children. The men lost reason and faith. And that's what Rudyard Kipling, the great poet of the 20th century, believed, characterized the 20th century. The women had no more children. The men lost reason and faith. But not so for Christians. Not so for Christians. As Paul put it, the just will live by faith. We have our children by faith. We love our children. We're not afraid of having children. She shall be saved by childbearing. That's another important text from 1 Timothy 2. It's a little strange to the ears of some, but all we're saying is that these are men and women of faith. It takes faith to have a child. It takes, you know, I've liked to say before that, you know, having a child is harder than, you know, jumping out of an airplane. It's a risk to your life.
It is. It
takes a lot of faith, and we commend the women of God who have amazing faith in the things that they do. They're trusting in God. These are the women of faith that trusted in God, spoken of in 1 Peter chapter 3. And so in the modern age where there's so much of a lack of faith, so much of a lack of love for children, Christians will be the ones that will have the faith. Christians will be the ones that will have the love for the children. And non-Christian communities will have a birth rate of 1.2. Christian communities will generally have an average birth rate of 4.0 or 5.0. And there are still Christian communities in places like Africa and South America and the United States. You know, I was in the heart of Africa and in some of the more impoverished areas. And, Bill, I spoke on abortifacients and in this one little church out in the middle of nowhere. We're talking about a church that was extremely rustic. Okay. I mean, just basically wood slats you could see outside between the slats. And so I'm speaking in this.
That was their air conditioning, right?
It was, yeah. A little wind was coming through and so forth. So a very, very rustic kind of church out in the heart of Africa. And I spoke on abortifacients in this church. They had never heard of a biblical view of abortifacients. Of course, the United Nations, UNICEF, and all of the American pro-aborts had been through the churches and through the neighborhoods, and they had been distributing all of the birth control pills and so forth. And this pastor came up to us afterwards and said, you know, my wife has been on this stuff, and we're coming off of it today. That's what he told us. That's something. See, again, this Western worldview is everywhere. The kill the kids mentality using the abortifacients is all over Africa today. And what we need are Christians who have a biblical worldview to establish Christian churches and Christian communities in America. And then let's go into Africa and let's take a biblical worldview into Africa and encourage these people to love their children. And hopefully their children will feel loved. Rather than participating in this child-killing worldview that is so common today. 1 Timothy 5:14, I will therefore that younger women bear children, guide the house. And Titus 2:3, the aged women likewise should teach the young women to be sober, to love their husband, to love their children. There it is, to love their children. Don't kill your kids. Love your kids.
Don't love them to death.
Yeah, love your kids. You know, loving children, bearing children, I know this sounds very odd to the modern mind, but not to the Christian mind. So I think what's going to happen is you're going to see a massive, massive difference between the Christian churches, the Christian communities, and the UNICEF communities, the United Nations communities, and the American communities. You're going to see Christians distinguish themselves from the world. Christians will not be killing their kids. Christians will not be abusing their children. Christians will manifest the love of Christ in the home and sacrifice their lives for their own children. That's the kind of thing that Jesus brings. It's such a radical difference from what the world is doing. The world says, kill your kids to lead a more convenient life. But Jesus says, die to yourself. Take up your cross daily and follow me. Put your lives on the altar and lay down your lives for your families, for your children, and disciple your children in love as Jesus did with his disciples. The world finds this very odd, Bill, but this is the testimony that the Christian faith will manifest to the world around us. There's never been a better time for us to distinguish Christians as those that love children. They don't hate children. They consider children a blessing, and they'll love their children and raise their children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that will be a radical difference from what the world is doing. What a contrast between the worldview of the world and the worldview of Christ. And that, my friends, I think is the positive word as we come out of one of the most devastating eras in the history of mankind, as almost the entire Western world has now capitulated to killing babies. Well, my friends, that wraps up this edition of the Generations Radio broadcast. I would encourage you to our little book, Keep the Faith on Family and Sexuality. That little book is a power-packed book, which gives you the history of the Christian church's position and the biblical position on abortion, homosexuality, divorce, and so many other topics during an era in which The world is destroying family and destroying life. We need to be sure that we are rooted and grounded on a biblical position on things like abortion. And so check out this little tiny hardback book we have produced. And it is power-packed, man. It's got 125 pages of power-packed info based on a biblical view of these issues. So grab a copy. Keep the faith on sexuality at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson and Bill Jack in studio. And we invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.